Thank God that we are able to assemble as one family to worship Him on the Lord's Day. It is really indeed today a great joy to see the installation of our two brothers, Elder Oswald and also Deacon Dimping. So let us continue always to remember them, in prayer as they serve alongside us. Blessed Lord's Day, and also a very happy Mother's Day. Both biologically as well as spiritually. Now today we take a break from our Mark series, and we will do a topical study on the theme of covenant. Covenant theology is a very big, significant theme throughout the Bible. It is a framework for understanding the relationship between God and His people, highlighting His faithfulness, promises, and plans. God's covenants with humanity are highlighted in Adamic covenant found in Genesis chapter 2 and 3, God's original covenant with humanity, establishing the relationship between creation, creator, and creation. Noahic covenant found in Genesis 9, God's promise to never again destroy the earth with a flood, and His establishment of a new order. Abrahamic covenant, Genesis 12, 15, and 17. God's promise to Abraham, making him a father of a new nation and establishing a covenant of faith. Mosaic covenant, Exodus 9 to chapter 24. God's covenant with Israel, giving them the law and establishing a national covenant. Davidic covenant, 2 Samuel chapter 7, God's promise to David, establishing his dynasty and anticipating the coming Messiah. New covenant, Jeremiah 31, Hebrews 8 to 10, God's promise to establish a new covenant, writing His laws on human hearts, and forgiving sin. Now, all these covenants and many others referenced in the Bible are God's covenantal love, demonstrating His unwavering commitment, His sacrificial eternal love for His people. Since today is Mother's Day, I will speak of the unwavering love and commitment of a mother to her child, mirroring God's covenant love. As I mentioned, there are plenty of references in the Old Testament and New Testament, but I have chosen Ruth chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, and Isaiah 49, 15 and 16 to be my main text and other passages for points of references. So let's start with Ruth, covenant commitment. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I bury it. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything, but death parts me from you." Significant words. And three things we want to observe. First, Ruth's decision. Second, her covenant language. Third, remarkable commitment. First, we look at Ruth's decision to leave her own family and culture to care for her mother-in-law, Naomi. Ruth's declaration shows her commitments and her total dedication to her mother-in-law. In the ancient Near East context, Ruth's decision to leave her homeland and family is extraordinary. Ruth, as we all know, was a Moabite. Moabites and Israelites had a history of animosity. Yet Ruth's choice to align herself with Naomi and her God demonstrates a radical break from her past. Her declaration also reflects the social structure of the time, where widows were vulnerable and often reliant on familial support. So Ruth's royalty ensures not only her own survival, but also that of Naomi, highlighting the importance of kinship and community. Ruth's example is seen as a model of how believers are called to commit themselves to God and to one another in love and faithfulness. Her account is a testament of God's providence and the transformation. Christianity, our Christian faith, is a faith for all who believe, regardless. Next, her words reflect a covenant language, reminiscent of the covenant God made with his people by stating, "Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." Ruth not only commits to Naomi, but also to the God of Israel, the Creator God, signifying her conversion and acceptance of the faith and custom of Naomi's people. So this is a profession of her faith in God. Ruth's decision highlights the theme of loyalty and faithfulness, virtues that are highly esteemed in biblical narrative. God's commitment goes beyond familial duty. It is an act of selfless love and devotion. Another very important point that I would like to reiterate is that her willingness to embrace the God of Israel or even as a general principle, we can learn valuable lessons from Ruth's remarkable commitment to Naomi and to God. Ruth makes a bold declaration of loyalty and devotion to Naomi, her mother-in-law. And this commitment is not only a testament to Ruth's character, but it also a reflection of God's covenantal love. Ruth's commitment to Naomi demonstrates unconditional love, loyalty, and self-sacrifices. I'm sure we all know there are many stories about a mother's love of such virtues. You know what is the mama bear's instinct? Well, actually, I just learned about this in my preparation. Before that, I don't know. So it's okay if you don't know. A mother bear will fiercely protect her cubs from harm, even if it means putting herself in danger. And this instinct is present in many species of animal, including human. A human mother will go to great lengths to safeguard her children. It describes a mother who is very protective of her children or loved ones. It captures the fierce nature of a mother when her loved ones are threatened. Now, in our daily living, if you are aware, if you pay more attention on the social issues, sometimes you will learn that a single mother working multiple jobs to provide for her children, sacrificing her own comfort and desires for their sake. I read of a story of a mother who donated her kidney to save her child's life, demonstrating the ultimate act of selfless love. Quote, "I just wanted to give Jessica her life's back," says hero mom who donated a kidney to save her daughter's life. And after suffering a kidney failure, little Jessica Watson was on dialysis to survive and desperately needed a transplant. And then her mom stepped in to give her kidney to her. So the picture you see is Jessica Watson with mom Ruth, who gave her daughter her kidney. You see, a brave mom has given her 9-year-old Jessica a new lease of life after donating her kidney. A mother's love is often described as unconditional. But it is her selflessness and sacrifice that truly, truly defines her role in our lives. Across cultures, across time and stories, both real and fictional, the figure of the mother stands as a symbol of unwavering dedication, enduring hardship, so her children can flourish. In everyday life, a mother's sacrifices are often silent and unseen. Personally, I have known quite a few mothers who works multiple jobs, skipping meals and sleep just to provide for her children with the basis of life, you know, food, shelter, and education. Or the mother who hides her own pain while caring for a sick child, delaying her own medical treatment because she believes her child comes first. No, I watch. As I was preparing this sermon, I watched documentaries of refugees across the world, especially mothers who walk for days through dangerous terrain, in clutching her children, driven only by the hope of a better future for them. The acts of love and endurance are not limited to the real world. Not just in the real world, in literature. Mothers have long been portrayed as selfless figures. In The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein, again, because of this preparation, I bump into all these stories. And, you know, the tree gives every part of itself to the boy it loves, its apples, branches, and trunk, until nothing is left but a stump. So this powerful metaphor captures the essence of a mother's nature to give, even when it means giving up everything. You see, I was so touched by this story and I recommended it to my children. They say, oh, we know this many times. They say, many people know it's a classic. Oh. So I feel very embarrassed. I don't know, you go and read it. Very, very touching. So I thank God for opportunity to prepare sermons. I get to know a lot more things. Culturally, mothers are revered for their sacrifices. In Africa, Proverbs, it says, a mother's back is the child's first school. A mother's back is the child's first school, reminding us how children grow and learn through a mother's label and example. Not only in Africa, in many Indian households, mothers eat last, and not at all sometimes. And so their families can eat first. But I don't think this is just the Indians' household. I've seen this in many other races. So you see, in every corner of the world and in the hearts of those they raised, mothers are monuments of sacrifice. Mothers are monuments of sacrifice. Their selflessness is not always dramatic or heroic, you know, in the traditional sense, but it is the daily choices, the quiet strength, and the invisible burdens that they bear. Now, before I move to the next portion of the scripture, a few lessons I think we can learn here. Trust and faith in God. Ruth trusted God's sovereignty and provision, even in the uncertain circumstances. Mothers often do not have control over their children's circumstances and have to learn to trust God's sovereignty, God's plan and provision for their family. Courage and resilience. Ruth showed courage and resilience in the face of adversity. Mothers need to possess these qualities to navigate life's challenges and overcome obstacles. I know of mothers got break down due to caring for their children. Now let's also look at Naomi a bit. Many commentators believe Naomi's guidance and mentorship played a significant role in Ruth's life. And I trust that the time they spent together, Naomi must have been a good mother-in-law and good influence on her. Now, one set through I observe personally is that not many young women and young mothers seek guidance from older, wiser, godly women for advice. On the other hand, I must say, not many older mother or grandmother are offering help to the younger mothers, or even, you know, setting a good example to the younger ones. No, I really hope that these lessons from Ruth's commitment to Naomi and to God can inspire and guide mothers as they navigate their own relationships and challenges. I also hope that what we learned about the mother's love of commitment, loyalty, selflessness, sacrificial, will encourage would challenge and motivate us to love our mother more. Now, my adopted mother, my godmother, my biological mother, and my mother-in-law have passed away. I cannot show love to them anymore. They are only in my memory. But I thank God. I thank God that in my pastoral ministry, I have opportunities to show Christ's love to some of the mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers in our midst through visitation, spending time chit-chat with them, text, you know, exchanging texts, encouraging, read scripture and pray with them. Actually, not only the pastors, all of us here can play a role to serve them. For those of you, you know, if your mother is still around, your grandmother is still around, honor them. Take care of them, love them. Recognize their sacrifices and show gratitude. Not just on special day, because it's so much commercialized, you know, but every day. I will move on to expound the next portion of the text, Isaiah 49, 15 and 16. God's covenant love, mirroring through a mother's unfailing care. Verse 15, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even this may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. God compares his covenant love to a mother's unfailing care for her child. These two verses reassures us of God's covenant, his unwavering commitment to his people. As mentioned, as spoken in my introduction, God's covenant love with humanity started with Adamic covenant right through to the New Testament. So just as a mother cannot forget his nursing child, God cannot and will not forget his people. God's covenant is unconditional. God's love is not based on our performance or worthiness. God saves us, loves us, not because we are good, we are worthy, but because God is good. God is love. And by his grace alone we are saved. And I'm glad some of the songs that we sang just now reflect on that. God's covenant love is unwavering. God's love remains constant. Even when we fail or we falter, God's love never fails. And 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God always forgives. His mercy is more as long as we sincerely confessed and repent. God's covenantal love is nurturing. God cares for our needs, providing spiritual nourishment and guidance. Look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? So as God speaks through the prophet Isaiah to reassure his people of his love and commitment to them, he uses the analogy, the metaphor of a mother's unfailing love to describe his relationship with his people. A mother's love is one of the most powerful and enduring bonds in human experience. The image of a mother forgetting her nursing child is unthinkable, and yet God uses this analogy to emphasize the impossibility of him to forget his people. Can a woman forget his nursing child? That she should have no compassion on the sons of her womb. Even this may forget, yet I will not forget you. God's remembering. While a mother might forget her child, an unthinkable scenario, God promises that he will never forget his people. Just as mother's love is unconditional, God's love for his people is unwavering. That's covenantal love. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Now, brothers and sisters, this is another very powerful reminder of God's firm, steadfast, solid love and commitment to us, to you and me. The image of God engraved you and me on the palms of his hands is a very profound symbol of his devotion, of his commitment. You see, in ancient times, a person might engrave a valuable possession or a loved one's name on a precious object to signify its importance. Similarly, God has engraved us on the palms of his hands, indicating that we are precious and we are valuable to him. The palms of God's hands are a constant reminder of his love and sacrifice for us. Just as the scars of Jesus reminds us of his crucifixion, his dying on the cross and resurrection, God's engraved palms reminds him of his covenant with us. So this image is very powerful. This image symbolizes God's faithfulness, covenant love. No matter what challenges, difficulties, and trials that we are facing, God's love and commitment to us remained unwavering, steadfast. He will never forget us nor abandon us. He never leave us nor forsake us. He is our rock, our refuge, our salvation. So what does this mean for you and me? We are loved and valued. God's engraved palms reminds us that we are precious and loved by him. We are not forgotten. God will never forget us nor abandon us, no matter what situation we are in. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God is with us. And we are called to faithfulness. Just as God is faithful to us, we are called to be faithful to him and to others. You see, I recalled I preached my first sermon, my very first sermon in 2007, long time ago, 18 years ago. I preached my first sermon And on September the 18th, 2007, my sermon title is this: Remaining Faithful in Bad Times. And I've never forget. Remaining faithful in whatever situation. As God is faithful, He calls us to be faithful. That's why when this word is mentioned, I'm quite, you know, sometimes invoke many things. And I remember our late founder, you know, Reverend K.C. Quek, his very statement, be faithful unto death. As we reflect on Isaiah 49, let us remember that we are engraved on the palms of God's hands. And may this powerful image remind you and me of God's steadfast, you know, His unchanging love and commitment to us. And may it inspire us to be faithful. To be faithful unto Him and to one another. We are engraved on the palms of God's hand. It also speaks of permanent bond. The bond between a mother and child is permanent. And God's relationship with His people is eternal. Eternal. So as we conclude our sermon on a mother's covenant love, we thank God. We thank God for the unconditional love and acceptance mothers provide to their children. We thank God for their countless sacrifices, putting families and others' needs before their own. We thank God for their godly virtues, characters, behaviors, inspiring their children to do the same. And we thank God for mothers who pray. Mothers who pray for their children and guide them in their spiritual journeys. Now, besides thanking God for them, we must pray for them. We must pray for them, asking God to bless, to strengthen, and to encourage them, to give them wisdom and guidance as they navigate the challenges of parenting. You know, there are many young parents in our midst. And sometimes I hear, you know, it is very challenging. May the good Lord bless them with love, joy, and fulfillment as they navigate the beautiful journey of motherhood. Pray that God will surround mothers with His protective care, shade them from harm, both seen and unseen, and grant them a sense of security. So today we extend our heartfelt